and on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love.
Good morning. We welcome you to First Christian Church. We're so glad that you are here today. It is a great day to be together here as a church family in worship. I'm Dave Yonker. I'm a senior pastor here, and we welcome you to First Christian Church. As we have gathered for worship this morning, if this is your first time with us for worship, we certainly welcome you. A little note about our worship service. We have communion together every single time that we get together for church. And so for those of us inside of our sanctuary this morning, we hope that you picked up one of our all-in-one communion kits. We'll need those for worship and for communion later on in our service. And for our friends who are online at home, we hope that you'll have ready the communion elements there at your house. If it's bread and cup, if it's crackers and coffee, whatever it is good enough as we celebrate communion as a family of faith later on in our worship service. Looking ahead to next week, for those of us in our church, you see on the back of your bulletin lots of things that are happening in the life of our church. We're having our next Lenten Tuesday night worship service here inside the sanctuary at 6:30 p.m. It's a great little way to worship together in a little half-hour service, and so we invite you to come inside the sanctuary and be a part of that on Tuesday night. We continue to collect our disaster relief offering called Week of Compassion, which goes to help people in need in the United States and then all over the world. We'll hear more about that in our children's moment later on in worship. And we're collecting items for our homeless shelter here in Burlington. There was a list in our church newsletter called The Caller. You can see it on our website or also on our church Facebook page. We'll be collecting things for people in need over the next few weeks. And so it's a little bucket outside the sanctuary, right inside the main doors. And so you can drop something off if you come to church next Sunday. Finally, we're looking forward to M&M beginning, which is our kids program for kids four years old to fifth grade. It has been on pause for nearly a year now, and so we're glad to have M&M restarting this Wednesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. It should be a great time to have kids back inside of our church for our weekly kids program. And so if there's a kid in your life who'd like to be a part of that, you can certainly bring them on at 6 p.m. on Wednesday night. It should be a great time to be together, to learn and to sing and dance and have a great time together.
And come. the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Shall we pray? Loving God, we gather to rejoice in your salvation, to sing praises to you for all your healing gifts to us. You have called us to faith and have given us strength to live out that faith. Hear our prayers and our praises. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
As we join in worship together, we all certainly covet the time to be in prayer together. It's a time for us to bring our joys and our sorrows, our worries and our fears, to bring them to God and to pray for not only our own needs, but also the needs of others all around the world. Let us go to God in prayer together. Eternal God, we thank you for the longer days of sunlight as we move towards springtime, for this beautiful season of Lent, for these moments together in worship and meditation. We pray that we would always be a people of gratitude. Let us seek out the many blessings that fill our lives. Even when we see many challenges and hardships all around us and in our own lives, we also know that our lives are filled with so much to be thankful for. Help us to seek those blessings and to give thanks to you always. Help us to see the thoughtful gestures of those around us. Help us to see the beauties of the earth. Help us to see your working in our lives. Help us to live a grateful life. As we study Abraham today, we pray that we could be more like him. Like Abraham, help us to believe that you will create a rich future for us. Like Abraham, help us to believe that you are still speaking and doing a new thing. Like Abraham, who laughed at your promise and didn't take it seriously, challenge us to believe in the impossible. Like Abraham, help us to have the courage to engage in religious journey and to allow our questions and our skepticism to be present in our conversation with you. Like Abraham, who earlier stepped out in faith in a new land, help us to take risks and be willing to venture ahead in faithfulness. And like Abraham, help us to be faithful to your everlasting covenant and to know you richly as our God. We pray today for any who are in need of your healing. We know that you are a God of miracles. Help us to look for the miracles in unexpected ways. We pray for healing of body and spirit when possible, and we pray for comfort and peace when bodily healing is not possible. We pray for all of those we know who are awaiting test results, waiting for surgery, waiting to feel well. We pray for your strength to fill in when they don't have their own strength. We pray for those who are struggling with employment or financial instability. We pray for new opportunities to be presented to those in need. And we pray that all people in our world could be confident in their ability to feed their families and provide for themselves. Lord, we pray that you would activate us as your messengers in the world. Inspire us to help, to work, to share, and to love whenever we have the opportunity. Fill us with your love for others, and may we overlook anything that might hinder us from that love. We pray, looking to your Son Jesus as our role model for loving all, including all, and helping all. May we always strive to follow his lead in care for others. We pray all this in his name, giving you thanks for sending him to earth to love people, to minister and to teach, and to die for our sins. We pray now, lifting our voices as one, to pray the prayer that he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today, as we continue in our sermon series, How Firm a Foundation, we continue through the very beginning of our Bible in Genesis. We are in chapter 17 today, beginning with verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
My family has this tradition that on Memorial Day every year, we go down to visit the old cemeteries in Salem, Missouri. Salem is this tiny little town in rural southern Missouri, down there by the Ozark Mountains. And as you go down this old way in southern Missouri, you kind of wind your way back through the narrow roads down south, down those winding roads south of Rolla, Missouri, nearly down to Arkansas. And you will find the place where my grandmother Yonker grew up. None of our family lives there anymore. Everybody has moved away. Everybody grew up and moved away. Even my grandmother did. And so going back to this tiny little town is like a family pilgrimage to see these old graveyards. We take flowers. We take clippers to cut away the stray grass that has kind of grown up there around the gravestones. We meet my aunts and uncles who have come to visit from other parts of the Midwest. And in the course of the day, not only will we go and visit the city cemetery that is there in town where my grandparents are buried, but sometimes we will drive out into the country into the old family homestead. We'll go look at those gravestones of my great-great relatives who were born long before the Civil War, that they are now dead and buried there in these old graveyards. And it's always a trek because sometimes finding these old cemeteries are way off the beaten path. Like the paved roads have long since come to an end. We end up in gravel and in muddy and dirt roads. Sometimes as we're driving down these dirt roads, we'll pass the old foundation of a house that has long since been demolished. Homes that like my grandparents used to live in. We'll drive through these tall grasses. Not in some big off-roading four-wheel drive truck, but we'll pass through these tall grasses on these muddy roads in our city-dwelling sedan-type cars. We'll get out and we'll talk and we'll kind of look around the place where our family lived long, long, long times ago. When Liz and I first got engaged, in fact, one of her first trips with me was going on Memorial Day down to Salem, Missouri. She knew that she was in for a wild life with me when visiting old cemeteries and my old relatives' graves was part of the life plan, right? I mean, I'm a kind of wild and crazy guy like that. Exciting times come when you're married to me. And so it was great to go see these family pilgrimages and these old cemeteries. For standing there, you can almost imagine people living off the land in a much more simple time. You can see the crops still growing in the fields. You can see that old homestead and the tall grasses. You can imagine the one-room schoolhouse being off to the side. And you can imagine people in my family, long before me, standing in these cemeteries saying goodbye to loved ones in the same exact spot. It's the same thing that we do with our loved ones here and now whenever we go walk through Aspen Grove and Memorial Park. We read the names on the gravestones and we think, I remember them. I remember them. I remember standing in the same spot to say goodbye on a glorious sunny day. We remember standing there in that same spot with a foot of snow on the ground and temperatures in the teens and the wind cutting through so cold. We stand there and we remember our family history. It seems like that today. It seems like that today in this passage that we heard from Genesis 17. It seems like it's part of our long collective biblical family history that has been passed down through the years that we tell now and we tell and we retell to keep our memory alive. It's almost like that. Remember that time? Remember that time when Abram was 99 years old and the Lord showed up to him? That's what the story seems like today. It's like a little glimpse into our family history when the Lord Almighty shows up. In this retelling of our story, we realize that it wasn't the first time in the book of Genesis when the Lord showed up to Abram. In fact, back in chapter 12, if you read there, the Lord came to Abram and Sarai and said, "You're going to make a great nation. You're going to have so many kids that will come after you. They're going to have more children that will come after you than there are stars in the sky. People will remember you forever. You will have this amazing kind of history. Ancestor after ancestor will come there to your gravestone on Memorial Day and leave flowers and remember your wonderful legacy. Remember old Granddad Abram and Grandma Sarai." The Lord said this would be the case, in fact, way back in Genesis chapter 12, but this hasn't happened yet. 5 chapters have passed, 24 years have passed, the Bible says, and it's still just Abram and Sarai. But now here today, in this long part of our family history, the Lord Almighty has come again. And this time, the Lord says, in order to ensure that this will take place, I'm going to go ahead and change your name. Abram, you're now going to be called Abraham. Sarai, now you're going to be Sarah. If you read on a bit further, you see that Abraham and Sarah thought that the Lord God must have been joking because both of them burst into laughter whenever they hear this promise from God. But the Lord says, this will be the sign. This is the covenant that even though it does not seem possible, even though both of you all are as old as can be, even though this used to be your name, this is your name now. It is signed and sealed with a covenant. And for those of us on this side of history, this passage seems like part of our family history story. And it's almost like, okay, all right, we'll go to ancestry.com and we'll make a note. Next time we're looking for Abram, we'll look for Abraham. And Sarai, we'll look for Sarah now. It's like we got it. Like this is part of our story. But it's more than just a story. In fact, if we think it's only a part of this long and winding narrative in the Bible, we miss the deeper meaning. You see, throughout all of the Bible, God had this habit of not only remembering people's names, but changing their names with a new identity. God had this habit of claiming his people, because in the Bible, names were so important. Saying someone's name, writing it down back in those days, was important. It wasn't just Abe and Sarah. A few chapters later, Jacob is called by God and his name becomes Israel. In the New Testament, Saul was walking down this road toward Damascus and he had this experience of the risen Christ, and it changed his life so much that he changed his name from Saul to Paul. Names have power and meaning, and they are given intentionally. When people were named, they were claimed by God, the Bible says. I mean, Jesus called Zacchaeus by name. He said, come on down from that sycamore tree. I'm going to go to your house today. Uninvited, Jesus said, I'm going to come on over. Jesus called Mary and Martha. He called Lazarus to rise up from the dead. He called the disciples Simon Peter and James and John and Andrew. He even called Jesus Judas Iscariot to follow. Men and women, he spoke their name with authority. Because for Jesus and God, their name wasn't just family history. It wasn't just a word to be spoken at the cemetery there on a gravestone, but their name had meaning. In fact, if you go back to the very, very beginning of the Bible in Genesis 1, when the whole entire universe was utter chaos as God brought it into order and named the stars and the clouds and the birds and the fish and the sea, things came into order when they were given names. God said, this is who you are. It seems almost simple, right? I mean, our names from our parents, the names we give our pets, I mean, we name our cars. In our house, we name our stuffed animals. I mean, it almost seems simple, right? But it's more than that. It's more than that because we know that in the world today, there are all kinds of names that come at us and names that we put on ourselves. Names that get piled on top of us more and more and more. I mean, there's all kinds of labels around us these days. Heavy and thin and conservative and liberal and black and white and brown and gay and straight and blue collar and white collar, rich and poor and rural and urban and everything in between and insecure and worried. We have so many names and labels that get placed on top of us. It's like we put on shirt after shirt after shirt, like we're getting dressed to go outside to play in the snow, like it was 10 below, like it was last week. We layer it on thick these days. It's like, maybe you remember that old episode of the TV show Friends. Remember that episode when the character Joey puts on every single article of clothing of his buddy and roommate Chandler? I'm talking every shirt and every tie, every pants, everything that he has, he puts on and walks into the room, so much so that he cannot move. It's like that sometimes. All the labels and names that are placed on us by others. Names that we place on ourselves that make us feel unworthy and unloved and less than human. But the name that becomes before any other name, that comes from God himself, is child of God. We are God's children, knit and stitched together in the image and love of God. As that old hymn says, that God was there to hear our mourning cry. God is there when we are old. God rejoices the day that we are baptized to see our whole entire life unfold. We are children of God, named and claimed in God's love. And that supersedes any label or stigma or stereotype that we may have, any history or yearbook that names us. Regardless of what others say about us or how we even feel about ourselves, we are created and loved and named in the image of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.